So today we're starting a brand new series, called Our Father in Heaven. And the phrase comes from, we're going to be walking through the most famous prayer of all time. The most famous prayer of all time. Isn't it funny to talk about there's a famous prayer that somebody prayed, right? I never prayed one of those kind of prayers. I don't think I got that kind of power. But Jesus prayed a prayer and he taught us how we should pray. He gave us a model of how we should pray in our lives. And that's what we're going to be walking through. It's a prayer called the Lord's, oftentimes called the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, when I was younger, I never quite understood about the power of prayer. For me growing up, when I was a little kid, my parents thankfully instilled in me this reality that of how to pray, and they would teach me how to pray. They would model it with this rehearsed, memorized prayers. Maybe you did something like this, but I always thought prayer was just something that we always thought prayer was something that I did, you know, at church. I'd do it at a meal, and I would do it, before I went to bed, right? That's what prayer was. And so before we would eat a meal, I would always, growing up, pray the same prayer. And it's a great prayer. And the prayer went like this. God is good, God is great. Or God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. It's a great prayer, right? Maybe some of you knew that growing up. Another thing we would pray, I think that that's a much better model of prayer. You're going to see when we read Jesus's model. But there was another prayer we'd pray before I went to bed. I remember laying in my bed and almost falling asleep as I would pray this prayer every night with my parents, where I would say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, my soul to keep. And then it was my turn to give my list to God, right? Then I would say, God bless, and then I'd fill it. They'd say, who do you want to pray for? That God bless mommy and daddy and my brothers and sisters, and God bless America, because that's what we sing, and God bless, you know, the Tennessee Volunteers, because I want them to win, and God bless, you know, not that person who pinched me on the playground, but God bless everybody else. You know, I would pray these prayers, and maybe you did that too. So for me, I'm thankful that my parents created those habits. It's a good word. I'm a parent now. I've got three kids. If you're a parent, man, you have such an opportunity to shape and to form and to create a foundation of faith for your kids. And I'm so thankful that they created those habits and they taught me these memorized prayers, because what I found is that prayer is one of those things that you don't really learn how to do it until you do it. Prayer is one of those things that you learn by actually doing it. You don't learn how to ride a bike by reading about it. You learn by getting on the bike. And it's kind of like that with prayer. One of the things that I would do, though, it was when I would pray, it was like I was lobbing language into the atmosphere, right? I was lobbing language into the atmosphere, but I wasn't entirely sure. We said we were talking to God, but I didn't really grasp the reality that, whoa, when I'm praying, I'm like talking to the God of the universe. Like, it didn't always click to me as I was about to fall asleep at night, or as I prayed over whatever Chick-fil-A we were having that day, or whatever, you know? But the thing is, what I didn't realize is how much God actually changes things when we pray. I don't even know how that works, but when we pray, God just has a habit of doing that. And so I really believe that so many people pray so little today. So many people pray so little today because sometimes we don't understand the power of it, the key that's been given in our hands to connect with God. And sometimes we pray so little today because we don't know how to do it. We don't know why we do it. We don't know what to pray for. You know, when I got a little bit older, I remember I was telling our worship team this morning, I remember my prayer life. I always felt like I was the worst prayer-er, right? I thought I was like the worst. I went to seminary to be a pastor, and I remember thinking, like, dear God, all these people here are professionals, don't let anybody call on me, right? Because I always felt like I couldn't pray good, right? And so I remember being in, like, middle school or high school and being in a small group, and I remember there were times when I would be asked to pray, right? We don't put you on the spot in our refresh groups at the fountain to say, hey, pray for us today. But I'd be asked to pray sometimes, and I remember thinking, oh, God, please let this sound good, right? Please let me sound a little bit spiritual because I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to pray about. And my prayer life kind of felt like this clip from Talladega Nights where Ricky Bobby is in an interview and he can talk normal all the time, but they put a mic in front of his mouth and he fumbles all over his words. Check it out.
Little known Jack fan, Ricky Bobby places third in the Dennett Racing Machine. Ricky, first of all, where did you learn to drive like that?
The car. Car hand rig. Yeah.
Can you speak up, Ricky?
The car. It handled real good. I felt like I was on a spaceship. And I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
Be good just to hold them down by okay. Your side. Yeah, great.
Well, we were real happy with what was going on. And at the end of the day, you know, you got to be happy.
So maybe you can't relate with a race car driving in an interview, but this is how I felt like I prayed sometimes. You know, I could talk to people normal, and I imagine you can relate to this. Some of you talk to people, some of you for a living, some of you are in sales and you interact with people. But then all of a sudden we start to talk to our God who is in heaven, and we start to say, the car doesn't drive well, and we don't know what to do with our hands, right? I don't know if you can relate to that, but prayer was always kind of an awkward thing for me where I would fumble all over my words sometimes. And I think it's probably why in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus' disciples pull him to the side and they're like, you got to show us. You got to show us how to do this thing. Here's the setup for what we're going to go into today. It's in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. We're just going to do one verse in Luke and we're going to jump to Matthew. But here's what it says. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. It's interesting because in all the scriptures, Jesus, it almost always tells us where Jesus was praying. It's almost like location has an important aspect. Like, we can pray anywhere we want to, but Jesus was praying in a certain place. It's almost like this was his secret place. This is a place where he went off by himself so that he could pray to our Father in heaven. And it says, when he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. And this is kind of an unusual request. And this is unusual because you got to know that these guys had grown up in the synagogues praying prayers their whole life, right? They'd been praying rehearsed prayers their whole life. And yet here they are, they're saying, look, Lord, we've prayed our whole life, but we don't know how to pray. Like, we've been praying our whole life, but we're not really sure if we're doing it right. Because as we watched you pray, Jesus, it looks so powerful and meaningful, not just because the words, but you seem to have a different connection that's going on. And would you just teach us to pray the way you pray? Would you teach us how to do what you do? And so maybe for you, you've prayed before. There's something that's happened in your life and you've been praying before. And maybe it's one of those things where as you're doing this, you're praying and you're kind of thinking, well, I'm praying, but I don't know if this is working. Like, I'm praying, but is anybody even listening? I'm praying, but it's one of those things, like, I'm not getting anything out of it. Does this thing even work? And maybe the reason, if you've ever wondered, like I have, if you've ever wondered that before, I believe that you're on, that you are potentially right in front of a breakthrough on prayer. Because I believe that if you've ever wondered that, it maybe is because we've never truly learned what it really means to pray. See, the truth is, you could have been praying your whole life, like me, right? Praying rehearsed prayers or whatever. Rehearsed prayers aren't bad. But is it possible that we've been praying our whole life, some of us, and yet we've missed the reality of what prayer is all about and the gift of prayer that God wanted to give us? And so here's the prayer for us in this series. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. So that's the setup in Luke's gospel. We get that picture. Then he goes into the Lord's Prayer and he teaches them that. But we're going to jump over to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel actually records the Lord's Prayer as well with a little bit more detail in front of it. And so we're going to walk through it there. But before Jesus talks about prayer, what he's going to do in Matthew's Gospel is he's going to teach us a little bit about prayer. And it's almost like Jesus wants to show us, guys, this is what God had in mind. This is what God had in mind when he gave you the desire and the opportunity to speak with your Father in heaven. This is what God had in mind for you. And so let's check it out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says this. Jesus is teaching them how to pray, and he says this, and when you pray, in other words, like, hey, it's this assumption, you're going to be praying. If you're a follower of me, like, you know, of course you're going to pray. He says, and when you pray, he says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now, let me just tell you, I don't think this is most of our issue, right? Most of us today are not like grabbing a microphone and saying, oh, I can't wait to pray out loud. Or maybe you go to a business meeting this week. I doubt many of you are saying, before we start this business meeting, I'm going to say this really elaborate prayer in front of all my colleagues because I want to impress them. That's not usually how you impress people today in the marketplace, right? You would be considered weird. But in Jesus's culture, back then, it was kind of a badge of honor to be a good prayer-er, you know? It was like a badge of honor. And so people would actually stand on the street corners. Picture like the bullhorn guys, you know, at the ball game, you know? And they would just pray these loud prayers. And the whole purpose of their prayer was not about connecting with God in Jesus' culture. Their whole purpose and the heart of their prayer was all about putting themselves on a platform to be seen or elevated by others. And so it was a way to kind of separate yourself. It was a way to kind of rank yourself so that you could say to other people around you, I am just so much more superior in my spirituality than you are, right? This is something they would do. Most of you don't have this issue today, but Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And what they thought of, man, if I could just pray in such a way, I just want people to say, wow, look at how he prays. Wow, look at how she prays. They are just so close to God. And Jesus is like, don't do that. That's not what prayer is about. In fact, according to Jesus, prayer is never about impressing other people. And that's good news for me, and that's good news for you. Prayer is never about impressing other people. In fact, if you've ever prayed out loud before, which you can pray in private and you can pray out loud, but if you've ever prayed out loud in a small group, if you've ever prayed out loud over your spouse, or you prayed in your home or your kids or for somebody in your family, if you prayed out loud, I always kind of, growing up, felt this, I was praying to God, but I almost felt like I was on Dancing with the Stars. Not really, but you know how they have the judges that stand up there and they hold a number out, right? I wanted people, but when I opened my eyes, to not be like, 3, you know, that was a bad prayer. Good luck, man, right? You need to work on your moves a little bit more in your prayer life. Like, I was praying to God, but in the back of my mind, I always felt like I was being evaluated, right, by other people. And it's one of those things where Jesus takes the pressure off, because what he's saying is it's not about measuring up in other people's lives. I don't care. You shouldn't care. That's not what prayer is about. What's prayer about, Jesus? Here's the first truth I want to share with you today. Number one is this, is your prayers are not for anyone else but God. Your prayers are not for anyone else but God. That may seem simple, but man, when you feel like you're praying and what's holding you back from connecting with God is the score sheet that you think other people are evaluating your prayers by, man, it keeps you from connecting with God. Prayer is not for anyone else but God. And so Jesus is saying, look, if you're praying to impress others, he said there's even bigger stakes. If your motivation is to impress others when you're praying, then you've already received your reward. Good job. What's the reward? Other people heard you. Like, other people heard you and they said, wow, he must be really spiritual. That's all the reward you're going to get, says Jesus. It's almost like if we pray and the motivation of our prayer is just to impress other people, it's almost like God's like, well, you're praying to them, but I'm not even involved in this. You know, it's almost like God hears it, but it seems like that kind of posture is not the posture of prayer that God answers. Here's how it continues, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. He says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Isn't that crazy? So somehow, like, when we pray, there's a reward that happens. You don't get a reward when you pray to impress other people, but somehow when we pray, there's a reward that comes. See, here's the thing. I believe that we can pray anywhere, anyhow, anytime. You can pray in the car. You know, you can pray in your room, you can pray at work, you can pray at school, you can pray when you're driving in traffic and you're late for your appointment. Dear God, help me get here, help me to be safe, move this car out of the way, right? You can pray like that. You can pray anytime, anywhere, right? But here, so Jesus isn't against public praying. He's not against praying in a public place. But what Jesus is saying, he shows us that the best place to pray, is to get alone with God where nobody else can see you except for your Heavenly Father. Doesn't mean you have to hide out, you know? Doesn't mean when you're at a restaurant you can't say, all right, we got to have a covert operation. We're getting ready to pray, everybody, but we're going to act like we're just talking right now because we don't want anybody to... That's not what it's about. But what he's saying is the best way to pray is to get in isolation from the world around you. Get in isolation where you're not distracted from the world around you. Turn off the TV. Turn off the music. If you're a mom, let me just say a word here because I'm a dad, three kids, and my kids don't follow me everywhere. But our kids follow my wife everywhere. If you're a mother with young kids, it may be the bathroom that's your place, right? It may be the shower, wherever it can be. It may be, you know, you drop the kids off and you're in the car and that's the place, right? But the best place to pray, Jesus says, is when you can get alone and you can speak with your Father who is in heaven, just you and God. In other words, pray in secret to the God who is unseen. And when you pray prayers to the unseen God, your Heavenly Father sees you. He sees you. And the promise is he will reward you. He'll reward you. Now, here's the thing. Let's stop here for a minute because isn't it amazing to realize that no matter how far away from God or how close to God you are, that when you pray to your Father in heaven, that God sees you and God hears you? I mean, that's one of the big things that I want to know about prayer. It's kind of like working out, and it's kind of like a diet. If there's a certain diet that works, I'll do it, right? But I want to see the results, right? But it's good to know that when we pray, your Heavenly Father knows every need in your life. He hears you, and he sees you. That's what prayer is about. And so let's continue. Verse 7, he continues teaching. He says, and when you pray, new topic, this is going to hit a little bit more home at home. He says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Now, this is what hits home for me because I'm a wordy man, right? I talk a lot, right? And I can stretch a small sentence into a long paragraph, right? But it's one of those things when Jesus says that, basically the pagans thought that if you could just come up with the right words, you could just say it right. If you could just use many words and use a great argument that somehow, or if you could just keep asking and asking and asking like a child asking for more Halloween candy. If you just keep asking that somehow you'll be able to bend your Heavenly Father's will to match your will. Right? That you'll be able to take God along and say, okay, God, here is my agenda and I've asked you so much and it's like this idea that I'll be able to bend God's will to my will. It's almost like if we keep praying that you know, with more faith and with more words and with more passion, then God will finally say, okay, I heard you, great argument today, right? Great thoughts, and you know what? Because you keep asking and because I'm tired of you asking me, yes, she's going to call you. Right? You'll get it, right? Yes, you can get that car. Yes, that job's going to be open for you. Yes, yes, yes. And what Jesus is saying, don't keep on babbling like that. That's not what prayer is about. In fact, the word, when we keep going on and on and on and on in prayer, Jesus said it's actually like babble to God. What does babble mean? Babble just means, it's almost like it's the equivalent of blah, 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 right? Blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, it's like God's not moved by the quantity of your words. God's not moved by the quality of your phrases, although I'm sure it's awesome, right? The scorecards are holding up, right, for other people. But it's not about the volume that you bring in your prayers. It's not about that. When you pray, pray simple prayers. Pray prayers that are from your heart. Talk to God the way you talk. Here's what it says next, verse 8. He says, don't be like them. Don't be like those guys who keep babbling. He says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And this is the crazy part for me. Because when you pray, it means we don't have to be loud. We don't have to be long. We don't have to beg God. Because your Heavenly Father already knows what you want and what you need even before you ask him. And this is where some of us, this is where I raise my hand. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, if God already knows what I need and what I want even before I ask him, why do I pray, right? Like, you already know, so, like, why do you want me to tell you? That seems kind of weird, right? That seems weird. Like, okay, you already know what I need, so why don't you just do it, right? Maybe that's just me. This is how I work with God sometimes. But if it's true, it's one of those things that it's because your Heavenly Father, it's because your Heavenly Father desires to have a real, close, intimate relationship with you. That's what prayer is about. It's because your Heavenly Father wants to connect with you. One of the things I love about is hearing the stories of my little kids. You know, they're 7, 4, and 1.5, and I love to hear their stories. Like, they tell me all these crazy stories, and some of them have stretched facts, and some of them are made up fantasy stories that are really cute. But I love to hear their perspective on things, and it's just so sweet. And it's so cute. And we video them sometimes when they tell us things because we always want to remember it. And sometimes I just get this picture that sometimes your Heavenly Father, and maybe you don't think your life is that interesting, but your Heavenly Father is like, you know, is like a great parent who's just waiting to just like record everything that you say and wants to hear. He already knows, just like you know, what your kids are going to say because you were there for the moment, you know, that they're talking about. But you just want to hear their perspective. You want to hear it because you want to share in your love for them, and you want to share your love for them. And so it's one of those things where prayer isn't about rubbing the lamp and asking God to be your genie in a bottle, right? I'm not going to sing Christina Aguilera here. Rub me the right, you know. All right, I just did it. But it's not about bringing three wishes to God and stepping back and living your life. That's not what prayer is about. It's not just about you telling God what you want. God is saying, look, when you pray, you can cover all that stuff. You can tell me your wants and your wishes and your needs and your desires, but I already know about it. Don't spend all of our time together there because I already know what's on your heart. When you pray, I want it to be something bigger than your wish list. I want it to be something bigger than a list that you bring to Santa Claus. I want it to be about a relationship with me. And the reason prayer is important is because your intimate relationship with God, out of that relationship, out of that connection flows every single thing. Life flows from into every single area out of that one relationship. That's why God wants you to pray. You know, one of my jobs as a parent is, and maybe you can relate to this, but my kids have gotten to a stage now where they will oftentimes bring me something that I got to put together. Oh, it's the joy of being a parent, right? They bring me these things that I got to put together. Sometimes it's my wife wanting me to put together furniture that has a bunch of pieces, right? Sometimes it's complicated toys that have all sorts of steps on it. Sometimes it's Legos, and it comes with a little box, and my son will say to me, Daddy, can we build this together? And I say, yeah, let's do it. And then I look, and it says 1,000 pieces. And I think, oh my goodness, we're never going to finish, right? So anyway, we're at that stage, and oftentimes we build stuff. And I'm kind of one of those, I'm not great at building things, but sometimes I look at the picture, and I think, I got this. I don't need the directions. I don't need any help. I can see it. I'm going to build it. And I start building it. And there's been a few times where I built something, and I get to step 33, and I realize that it's not exactly the way it was supposed to look. And when I look back, I start going step by step by step back to what I read before and find out that I missed something in step one that was going to set the trajectory for the entire thing I was building. And now, because I didn't get the first thing right, the first step right, the whole thing that I've been building is now crooked or distorted. Maybe you can relate to that. It's kind of like that when it comes to prayer. It's so important in our prayer life. When Jesus teaches us how to pray, the first step in his model of prayer is going to set the trajectory of how he wants us to pray. It's going to set the trajectory of everything. And remember, this: the Lord's Prayer is not a formula. It's not a magic formula where if you, you know, shake it up and you say it the right way, then God's going to answer it. It's just a model that we can use. And so let's the very first step, let's check it out in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It says this. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." Everybody listening, right? This is how you should pray. He says, when you pray, pray like this. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're going to just camp out here today. We're not going to move anywhere else in the Lord's Prayer today. We're going to camp out right here. When you pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That sounds very different than, "Dear God, thank you for my day, and now on to my needs." That's very different, isn't it? What Jesus is basically saying is, even before, you know, you ask anything in prayer, I want you to start in the right place. I want you to start by remembering, by adoring, by recognizing who it is you are talking to when you pray. I want you to remember who you are, who you're talking with. It's almost like the opportunity to adore God and to praise God and to worship God. That's how God wants you to start. And I think this is so interesting because let's put it back up, verse 9. It's crazy. Look at the phrases here in verse 9. There's so many phrases. He says, "Our Father," which means, wow, he's so close. "In heaven," that seems far away, right? "Hallowed be your name." "Hallowed be your name." That's like the word "hallowed" is a word we don't use a lot today, right? If you use that in the corporate world, people might fire you. But the word "hallowed," it means big and majestic. It means that, God, you are so much otherly. You're not like us. It means, God, you're holy. You're set apart. You're different. "Hallowed be your name." "Hallowed" is a term of reverence. It's a term of holiness. And so here's the second truth I want to share with you today. Number two, the first step of prayer is to stop and remember who you're talking with. The first step of prayer is to stop and remember who you're talking with. See, God wants you to be reminded, before you even say a word, of what your needs are, of how big God is, how powerful God is. And God wants you to add other words, add your language to who God is. Speak to him, who he is. I think God wants us to know that when we pray, that we're not just talking like we're talking on the phone to a friend. You're talking with a God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. You're talking with a God who put the stars in the sky. You're talking with a God who put the planets in motion. You're talking with a God who created things like ferocious lions and colorful peacocks. You're talking with a God who created strong trees like oak trees, and the same God who created something as tiny as minnows, the same God who created you and me and gave us the most minuscule detail of our own individual thumbprints. You're talking with that guy, with that God who created everything. And God wants you to remember, not only is he your creator, but that he is our eternal God who has always existed. That God has been around before you were even thought about in your mommy and daddy's eyes, right? And God will exist way beyond we're gone from this earth. And so when you talk to God, we're to remember that God is loving and God is good and God is faithful and God is trustworthy. And so when you pray, that's what God wants you to do, to declare things about who he is, and to remind yourself of who you're talking with. And as you remember how big and holy God is, what Jesus says is something crazy. God invites you to call him something so close and so intimate. Jesus says, when you address God, I want you to call him this word, Father. I want you to call him Father. And the word Father means close. It means trust. It means you've got my best interest in mind, God. Father means like, God, whatever you say, it means it's the best thing for me and I want to do it. Father means you're my authority in my life. And so the word Father, it's not this formal word like, Luke, I am your father. You're right? It's not saying like, dear Father. Like, that's not how God wants you to pray. But it's just, the original word is the word right here. It's Abba. Abba. And the word Abba is, yes, it means Father, but it's even more personal. It's even more intimate. It's a word, the equivalent in English, the best equivalent would be like saying Daddy. Daddy, our Abba, who art in heaven. See, Abba's tender, Abba's close. Abba means it's a personal relationship. It's a sign of your love for me and my love for you, our Abba. You know, when we were in the car this past week and we were driving, I think it was to Kroger or something, and my whole family was riding together in the car, which is always an adventure, right? You never know what's going to happen. Well, suddenly I overhear this conversation that's happening where my 7-year-old son, Peyton, was trying to school the other kids on how special it was to be older. And he was telling them, he said, well, guys, you got to know, someday I'm going to get old enough where I'm going to get to call Daddy his real name, Andy. Someday, I'm going to be so old that I'm going to get to call him Andy. And you guys are going to have to wait a few more years to get there, but just be excited because someday you're going to get there. And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, this is awesome. You know, this is one of those moments, Kodak moments, or we don't have Kodak anymore, so whatever, Facebook Live moments. But anyway, I was listening to this, and I said, you know what? Here's the thing. Everybody can call me Andy. You know, everybody can call me Andy. Little kids sometimes call me Mr. Led or Pastor Led or whatever. There's another select group of people that get to call me Pastor. Like, that's another cool thing. But I said, did you know that you guys are special? Did you know that there are just 3 people in the entire world who have the ability to call me a special name that nobody else gets to call me? They say, you know the name that you get to call me that everybody else doesn't get to call me? You get to call me Daddy. You get to call me Dad. You know, you get to call me that. And they're like, wow, that's really cool. That's really cool. To me, it's crazy that the God of the universe, when he came to connect with us, when Jesus stepped out of his throne in heaven and into our broken world, and he taught us how to pray, God invites us to call him something so intimate as our Father, our Abba in heaven. Hallowed be your name. It's like, wow. When I pray, that means I get to talk to God. I get to talk to God. So that's what prayer is all about. And so why is it such a big deal to start every prayer by declaring who God is before we even bring something to God? Here's the bottom line for today, and it's this. Is that when you fix your focus on God in prayer, it puts your life in proper perspective. When you fix your focus on God in prayer, it puts your life in proper perspective. See, when you realize who you're talking with, when you realize how great and big and holy and set apart and loving the God of the universe is, and how much he cares for you, that you get to call him Abba, Father, everything else you were worried about before, everything that was on your list of wants and needs and wishes, all of that stuff all of a sudden starts to come in proper perspective. Because you start to realize that, wow, I was worried about this before, and it's not that it's not a big deal, but wow, you can have peace because you know that God is with you. You can have peace knowing that God is with you, the God of the universe. And so it's one of those things where whether God says yes or no, or whether God is silent, you know that God is with you. So I believe if you start praying like that, it'll change what you pray for and how you pray. And it may just start to change you. God may just change you. And so here's my challenge for you this week. I don't want to just say, hey, go pray, right? Here's what I want to challenge you by, something really specific this week that I want you to try. Remember, it's like riding a bike, and you get better at prayer by praying, right? And at first, it feels like I don't know what to do with my hands, and it's awkward maybe for some, you know, maybe feel really weird. But I just want you to try this. Just want you to try this. The challenge for this week is this. Spend some time every day. Spend some time every day talking with God in prayer. Talking with God in prayer. And it may be kind of funny for a minute, just envision like you're talking to God on the phone, right? Just talk with God in prayer. And it's one of those things where it may feel funny, but just get alone. Try to get alone if you can. Get away from the distractions of the world around you and begin talking with your Heavenly Father. You know, I'm one of those that I do it best when I talk out loud, when I pray out loud. And so I have to pray a lot of times in the car. Right? I pray a lot of times in my office. I have to talk out loud because sometimes I'm praying in my head and it's like squirrel, you know, something else, you know, comes up. I get distracted, right? And so I don't know where that is for you, but I just want to encourage you to pray this week. And when you pray, don't just gloss over that first part and go on to your wants and your wishes and your needs. God cares about them, but he knows about them. But I want to encourage you to camp out there. I want to encourage you to spend some extra time declaring who God is, but also telling God about what God has done in your life. Thanking God for what God has done in your life. Because here's the thing, the bottom line is this, is that when you fix your focus on God in prayer, when you fix your focus on God in prayer, it puts your life in proper perspective. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you give us the ability to call you a phrase that seems impossible from our vantage point. God, we thank you that when so many people in the world approach you, God, a lot of people have this picture that, God, you are just so far off and untouchable. And God, you are holy and you are otherly. But God, thank you so much that you give us all the opportunity to connect with the God of the universe and to call you a name that should be reserved for the most holy people, for the angels in heaven. But God, you invite every single one of us to call you Abba, our Father. God, would you help us this week as we go from here to get a little bit uncomfortable, to begin praying on our own this week, to go into whatever quiet place we can go, whatever place where we can get the most alone, and just spend some time just talking with you, God. God, help that to become more of a normal thing in our lives, because prayer isn't just about our wants and our wishes. It's about our connection with God. It's our connection with you. So God, would you encourage us that as we pray that you're not holding up a scorecard? Would you encourage us that as we pray that what's actually happening is you're getting to hear from the one that you create, from your children who love you so much and who you love so much. God, as we go from here, God, would you help us? Would you help us to be people of prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In Jesus' name, amen.